Let's turn to our Bibles again, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 13. The book of Acts, chapter 13. We'll commence our reading this evening at verse 42. Let us hear the Lord's word. And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost."
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher calling all Canadians back to the Bible. Why? Because it's the inspired Word of God. The Apostle Peter, when referring to the Old Testament Scripture, said that holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to write them. The Apostle Paul stated that all Scripture is given by inspiration, which means that it is God-breathed. Men did not write their own thoughts, nor merely give a history of events. They were supernaturally directed to write the very words that God put into their minds. It was even more than dictation. It was a miracle at work, for it was God moving men to write the Bible. So much so that we can call the Holy Scriptures the very Word of God. But what about the Lord Jesus? Was he committed to this idea of the written Word of God, or was he a freelancer with little or no regard for a book that contained the exact words of God? The Lord made a number of statements that show his attitude to the Old Testament Scriptures. The New Testament, of course, was not written while he ministered on earth. He said in Luke 24:44 concerning the Old Testament, let me read these three verses. "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise again the third day from the dead." Here we have the total commitment of the Lord to the written Word of God. He said, all things must be fulfilled which were written of him. Not just some things. He was committed to every statement of the Old Testament. The Lord used the formula of the Jewish scholars, the Law of Moses, the Prophets, and the Psalms. That was fully known as the whole 39 books of the Old Testament. That statement including everything from Genesis to Malachi. And so the Lord Jesus was indeed committed to the Word of God written down for our learning. Also notice that the Lord enabled his disciples to understand the Scriptures. He did not bring out his own teaching, but made them to understand what was written, specifically as it related to his own sufferings and his own death. Think of Isaiah 53, where Isaiah described in writing the sufferings of the Messiah as a sacrificial lamb. The Lord put his stamp on those statements of Isaiah, and by using that triplex formula of the Law, Prophets, and Psalms, he put his stamp on every book, every chapter, and every verse of the Old Testament. So if you accept the Lord Jesus as your teacher, then you are bound to accept the Old Testament as the Word of God, just as the Lord Jesus did. You will become a Bible Christian to Bible Christianity, which is committed to the Bible as the inspired Word of God that we are to read, study, and obey. When you study the life of Christ and the teachings of Christ, you will find that he based so much of his teaching on what was already revealed in the Old Testament. He never set those writings aside, but made it the foundation of his preaching and teaching. That is the kind of commitment that every faithful preacher must display. We are not at liberty to pick and choose the words we like. We are not at liberty to put our own meaning on them. We must place ourselves under them and seek out the meaning of their written word so that we preach the very Word of God, not the notions of men, even our own. What about your preacher? Is he a biblical preacher in this sense, that he takes the written Word of God and expounds it to you and all who come to hear the gospel? Commitment to the written Word is the test of faithfulness in any Bible preacher, any Bible teacher, and every Christian. Are you following the commands, precepts, and great truths of the Bible? Only by taking that Word to heart, to walk in your life, to be your witness before the world. Commitment to the Word of God is the test of faithfulness in any Bible preacher, teacher, and to every Christian. Are you following the commands, precepts, and great truths of the Bible? Only by taking that Word to heart, only by taking it to your walk in life, and to be your witness before the world, can you follow in the steps of the Son of God? You cannot call yourself a biblical Christian unless the book is your rule of life and your witness before the world that is lost. Will you now heed the call to come back to the Bible and commit yourself to live in the light of God's written word? That is the test, and that is the challenge before you. Listen to the Lord's call to full and total commitment to the written Word of God. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. That is the Lord's challenge to you. So I bid you to start reading the Bible today. Our message today is Paul's kind of preaching, and I hope that you will be committed to that ministry of God's Word that is faithful to the book. May God bless you through His Word today as you listen to our message, as we let the Bible speak.
To the book of Acts now, and to chapter 13. And we come to Paul's missionary journey into Asia Minor. John Mark has decided he's had enough. He has gone home again, but they persevere. They travel, and if you ever look a Bible map, you can look up these places. They travel from the island of Cyprus, where they met the governor of the island, Sergius Paulus, who became a Christian. And so already their missionary work is being very fruitful. And they go pretty much on the map straight north to Asia Minor, to a port city called Perga. Perga, that's where they arrive by ship. And then they make their way to this mountain region, and it's called Antioch. Antioch, Pisidia. And they travel there. If you look on a Google map and you do the measure tool on the Google map, as the bird flies, a straight line from the port city of Perga right up to Antioch, it is 100 miles inland. But it is very steep terrain. The elevation of this mountain plateau where Antioch is situated is about the same elevation as Banff. And if anyone is there, you'll know that's a mountain climate. And in the summer, it's quite nice. But in the winters, it would be very cold. But they didn't travel by train or bus or car. They probably walked a lot of it. And that would have been steep terrain. Indeed, the distances in Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey, if you flip the map over, it's about the same shape and size as California. And you know, going inland from California, you've got all those mountains, ranges to cross over. And that's the kind of journey that Paul and Silas made as they sought to reach this area right up there in the mountains. Now, this was a very important and a central city, although it was in the mountain, because it was in BC 25, that is 25 years before Christ was born, it was a Roman colony. That means they would have had a fortress and they would have a military stationed there, which always gave new focus, new central powers to that area. And it was a trade route along that route going east-west. And so it was a very central and strategic area to be planting a church or preaching the gospel. Now, every evangelist seeks to find an open door to preach the gospel. And you can understand evangelist is a bit different from being a pastor. A pastor, for the most part, when God calls him or a congregation calls him to be their pastor, he's planted in one place. He's got one pulpit and he preaches however many times in that pulpit per week. And he may get some opportunities for other open doors, but by and large, that's his work. He's planted there. But an evangelist is always seeking new opportunities, new doors, new places to go that he may preach the gospel. And the difficulty often is, how do you get started? How do you get that open door? And then there's always the concern, well, what if it doesn't work? What if it is a failure? And in reality, evangelists have to be prepared to fail. Many times for the Apostle Paul, it failed for him. And here in this city of Antioch, you will discover that the opposition became so strong that they had to go, move on. And whether you call that failure or a valid attempt, Yet there was strong opposition to the preaching of the gospel here. Now, the first opportunity that they sought was to go into a synagogue. And this is one of the unique things about the middle Mediterranean countries during that period. It was the Greek world. And you remember how Alexander the Greek, he conquered really very much the whole world. He's the man who conquered so much that when he came to the end of his conquering, he got down and cried because there were no more countries to conquer. And he had changed that whole area of the world into Greek-speaking language and prepared the way for the ministry of the gospel. The other thing that prepared the way was Roman roads. And the Romans were great road builders. They wanted ways to move their armies quickly, and they had excelled in that. Now here in Antioch, there was a synagogue. These Jews were dispersed in many places, and almost every center that they went to, they built at least one synagogue. If there were larger populations, they would even have more synagogues in the same area. So it's a Greek-speaking world. It is a place where Jews are scattered. They have a place where they worship in their synagogues. Now, synagogues were very different from the temple. Synagogues were not places of sacrifice. They were places very much like a Protestant church, only they used the Old Testament scriptures only. It was a place of Bible reading and of Bible exposition, and there would be some liberty given to anyone with some message or some aspect of the Bible to share that they would do that. And so here is Paul and Silas. They seek out a synagogue. Now, here's the strange thing. In the synagogues, there were Greeks. There were Gentiles. And they are referred to here as proselytes. If you go to verse 42 of this chapter, you'll see, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes. Now, a proselyte is a person who has come from either another location or another religion. They're sort of crossing over. They are changing into a new area. A proselyte is a convert to Judaism in this case. Now, they weren't always accepted with all the full rites of Jews. Many of them were not circumcised. Many of them were not really in the full life of Jewish tradition, and Gentiles would have gone there just to learn. It was more like a learning center for them. And this fact is truly enormous. If you look at verse 42, it tells us that when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. And so while this was a meeting place for Jews, there were Greeks or Gentiles there, and they are the people who responded with a greater passion to hear the gospel. And they said, "We can't wait till next week again to hear this again." And you could imagine that all through that week, they would have been telling their neighbors, their friends, their families, "Hey, do you know what we heard last week from these two visitors? You need to come and hear this." And so the following week, there was a very large increase in hearers who came to hear the gospel. Now, through this providential set of circumstances, the synagogue provided for Paul a wonderful open door and opportunity. But it was a short-lived opportunity because all this excitement of the Gentiles and all this attention upon these visiting speakers, it really offended the Jews. And they got mightily upset. And so we find that they were opposed, and they were eventually had to move on. Now, what do we learn from this? That we need to go through open doors. That's the first thing. We need to seek open doors to preach the gospel and serve the Lord. We need to seek out places where people will have an ear for the truth of the gospel. And never despise an open door, no matter how unlikely it seems, no matter how different it seems. Always take that as a providence of the Lord. Now, there are special seasons in the year that we do sort of capitalize upon, because we're not the kind of Christians that work very heavily on the calendar. Every Sunday is a resurrection Sunday for us. Every week we rejoice that God so loved the world that he sent his Son. So we don't mind if it's Christmas or Easter or Thanksgiving. We take all of these occasions and we take the opportunity to preach the gospel. And so, as you read there in verse 45, the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and they spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They could see the great attention that was given to these visiting evangelists, Paul and Silas, and they, out of envy. Now, that envy is really a bad zeal. We can be envious for good things. We can covet the best gifts. We can seek the blessing of the Lord and be zealous for that. But these Jews were just zealous about their own pride, about their own power and their own control of things. And they were closed to the gospel. So what was Paul and Barnabas to do? Would they run? Would they resign? Would they rent another facility and go there? And so our subject this evening is what to do when opportunity turns to opposition. And in the Lord's work, that happens. Well, the first thing in verse 46, we'll see how these men responded. Opposition requires boldness. In verse 46, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold. They didn't back down. They didn't apologize. They didn't say, we're very sorry, we've stepped on your toes, we'll get out of here and leave you all alone. No, they waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. In other words, they were doing the right thing by ministering to the Jew first. And when you get to the book of Romans, you will see that's something of a principle that the apostle followed, the Jew first and then the Gentile. And so instead of bypassing the Jew, instead of neglecting the Jew, they were honoring the Jew by preaching the gospel first to them. But when it was rejected, they moved on to the Gentiles. After all, if you look back in verse 15, you'll find that they were invited. They had gone into the synagogue as visitors. They sat down. And in verse 15, they were invited after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. So they gave the pulpit to Paul. They gave the opportunity to speak. And Paul was not going to apologize and say, well, I stepped out of line and I've done the wrong thing. In verse 47, you will see that the apostle was unchanging. And he says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And so he was simply claiming, I'm speaking the word of God faithfully. And he gave a biblical account of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. And he called men to faith in the Lord. And that is why preachers are not servants of men. We're not we're not men's servants, we're the Lord's servant. And as the Lord's servant, we do his bidding. And we bring that message which God has bid us to preach. And so Paul was definitely unchanging. Now, Paul knew of the Gentiles in the midst. He would have read the situation very well. He would have understood that there's going to be here a core of deep-seated, deeply entrenched Judaists who would stand for their traditions and so on. And then there would be the fringe people in the meeting. They would be these proselytes or Gentiles who were learning these things, who were not as entrenched, but they were interested in learning. And Paul most likely honed in on them and spoke the word of the gospel to them. And for their sake, he remained faithful and said it was necessary that we preach to you first, but also that we preach to the Gentiles, that we be a light unto them. And so we can see the evangelistic heart, the passion, the zeal that was in the apostles' heart, and Silas too, as they brought this message of the gospel.
This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If I can be of any personal help, feel free to give me a call or send me an email. I'll be glad to talk with you one-on-one to give you some pastoral help. I know that the world is filled with hurts and needs. Give me your prayer requests and we'll can pray together, and may God in his grace minister to your heart and give you a blessed, blessed peace in rejoicing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And that starts, as I say, by reading the Bible, by going to the Word of the living God. You have been listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of this broadcast or would like to hear it again, you can go to ltbs.ca. You will also see ways you may support this gospel ministry. And you will find details about our church in Scarborough, where Reverend Larry Saunders is the minister, in Port Hope, where Reverend Reggie Cranston is the minister, in Barrie, where Reverend Anthony DiDerno is the minister, and in Buffalo, where Reverend Phil Owen is the minister. You will find all their details at ltbs.ca. If I can be of personal help, I would love to open the Bible to talk and pray one-to-one with you, so that you may know you are saved and sure of it. Call me at 604-897-2040 or email me at ltbsradio@gmail.com. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Until the same time next week on this station, may the Lord bless you and keep you in his loving care.